Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome to another episode of Mystery Frequency. I just want to remind everybody the best way to reach out to me, my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, Mystery Freak, F-R-E-Q on Twitter, Mystery Frequency on Instagram, and the comments on Spotify. And please check out the descriptions for links to everything related to the show. My social media, my email as mentioned before, my website, my store. So please take a look at those. And while you're there, if you enjoy this podcast, please don't forget to follow, review, and rate. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
We present My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denny. This is the story of Mr. and Mrs. Cougar, the record of a happy marriage. Two people who live together and like it. The comfortable front bedroom of the comfortable suburban home of the Cougats doesn't look very comfortable this morning. Articles of clothing are strewn about the floor and across the bed. George hurriedly plows through the debris getting dressed, while Liz tries to cram all of their things into three suitcases.
Liz, dear, what's all this stuff you're packing? We're only spending the weekend at your mother's, not the whole summer.
Well, I'm only taking the bare necessities. Slacks, sunsuit, a few dresses, shoes, cosmetics, hose, undies.
Well, what have you packed for me?
Your toothbrush and trunks.
Is that all?
I want you to get a good tan.
Pack some clothes for me, Scatterbrain.
I wish you were driving out to Mother's with me, George.
No, it's impossible, darling. Can't miss my board meeting.
I wonder what the surprise can be that Mother's been telling us about.
I'm afraid to guess. Her last surprise was the wrestler she was sponsoring. Remember him? He called himself the Hawk. Oh, what a wrestler.
Yeah, in his first match, the Hawk flew clear out of the ring.
Well, if she has another wrestler, I'll just throw him out of the house. Woody? Evidently, you've never heard of Gorgeous George.
You are gorgeous, George.
Finish your packing.
Where's my new bathing suit? I can't find it.
Your new bathing suit? Well, maybe a moth had a spare second and ate it.
Here it is, and it isn't that skimpy.
It's shameful.
You're too prudish.
You're too nudish.
You should see Alice Sturm's bathing suit. She got arrested at the beach.
Must be pretty bad.
Oh, it was, but they couldn't prosecute.
Why not?
No evidence. Which nightgown should I take? My canary yellow or my parrot green?
What about your goose chartreuse? Well, gotta run now, honey. See you tonight. Drive carefully.
George Cougar, don't you criticize my driving. I'm a good driver.
Sure, honey. You've never driven up a telephone pole.
Of course not.
Anyway, not to the top.
Ha ha, very funny. I read in a magazine the more accidents were caused by men than by women.
Yeah? When did you read that?
The other day while I was driving downtown. Mother!
Oh, Liz, darling!
Mother, you look marvelous, so young and healthy.
Oh, it's this country life, dear. I found there's nothing better than fresh milk and clean soil.
Well, it's certainly done a lot for you.
Yes, makes a wonderful mud pack. Where's George?
Well, he had to attend a board of directors meeting. He'll be up later.
Oh, they're having him during the day now. That's nice. Your father always had to go to the board meetings at night.
At night?
Yes, poor dear. Tell me, are they still holding them at the Whoopee Club?
No, Mother. Now the bubble dancer comes to the bank.
Oh.
Mom, what's this big surprise of yours? I've been wondering about it all the way up here.
Oh, well, see if you can guess.
Well, some of the things you do, Mother, I'm almost afraid to guess.
Oh.
Let's see now. Pole vaulting?
No.
Motorcycle hill climbing?
No.
Skywriting?
Oh, no, you're way off.
Well, I'll have to think of something a little more sensible.
But this is very sensible.
Chickasaw Indian tap dancing.
Oh, Liz, really, A Chickasaw Indian tap dancing. Oh, I wonder if they teach that at Arthur Murray's.
Now, we're not talking about Arthur Murray. What's your surprise?
Well, you'd better sit down.
I don't need to sit down. What is it?
I'm going to get married. I see you decided to sit down.
I always do when my knees buckle.
You seem so surprised, dear. I suppose you thought that I was too old to get a husband.
I thought no such thing. You're very beautiful.
Oh, I do have a few wrinkles, though. Of course, just on the outside.
That's right, Mother. And they're just happy little crow's feet.
Oh, I know you're going to love your new father, Liz.
But tell me all about him. Who is he? Where'd you meet him? What's he like?
Well, his name is Daniel Carson, and I met him in Houston. Oh, he's a real Texan, Liz. He's just like Gary Cooper. Not quite that tall, of course, and a little older, and he wears bifocals.
Oh, but he's just like Gary Cooper.
Well, they're both men.
Well, he sounds grand, darling. How'd you meet him?
I was walking past the theater, and as he rushed up to buy his ticket, he knocked me down. He was in quite a hurry. It was a Randolph Scott picture.
He really did sweep you off your feet.
Skinned both my elbows. He apologized, and he asked me to see the picture with him. But, of course, a young girl couldn't accept an invitation from a man she didn't know.
Of course not.
But I'm not a young girl, so I accept it.
Mother.
Hmm?
Do you suppose this man could be after your money? Not that you aren't beautiful.
Oh, no, dear. He's quite wealthy himself. He owns several oil fields. Oh, he has a huge ranch, factories, and...
Oh, dear. What's wrong, Mother?
You don't suppose I'm after his money, do you?
See, now. You were in Houston last April. Have you been engaged all this time without telling us?
Oh, no, dear. Dan and I have been corresponding, and it just happened. He asked me in his last letter.
What'd he say?
Dan isn't a man of many words, dear. Here's his letter. You read it.
My dear Louise, howdy. Love, Dan. P.S. Will you marry me?
Oh, I've read it over and over again. I almost know it by heart. You know, he's coming in on the 5 o'clock plane, Liz. I've made all the arrangements for the church.
Now, just a minute, Mother. Before you go any further, I think we'd better have a little talk.
A talk? Well, what about, dear?
Well, Mother, you're getting married, and I think there are a few things that you should know.
Oh, Liz, dear, Liz. Don't you remember 10 years ago when you were going to get married? Didn't I take you into the parlor for a little talk?
Yes.
Well, I haven't forgotten any of the things you told me. Dear, I thought little Susan Palmer could be the flower girl, and maybe George could be the best man.
Oh.
Why, Liz, dear, what's wrong?
I'm just so happy for you.
Well, then why are you crying?
Well, you cried when I married George.
Well, that was different, dear.
Oh, Mother. My little mother.
Oh, Liz. Liz, darling. Please don't cry.
Oh, Mother, I can't help it. You'll understand someday when you have one of your own.
Liz!
In here, George.
Oh, hello, honey.
Kiss, kiss. Come on, give me a kiss. Kiss, kiss, kiss. I want a kiss. Give me a kiss. What's the matter?
I never board a train when it's moving.
Well, it's standing in the station now, ready for refiring.
Nut.
Hmm.
Okay, conductor?
Mm-hmm. Steam's way up.
Careful you don't burst your boiler.
When there's any danger, the whistle blows. Kiss me again. Watch out, George.
Can you carry your bags, ma'am?
Oh, George, wait till I tell you about Mother's secret.
Yeah, what is it?
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
Liz.
George, a secret's only a secret if it's kept a secret. You know about the whispering grass. The grass told it to the trees, and the trees told it to the breeze. You understand, George?
Yes, very clear. Your mother's been out in the grass whispering to trees.
Just forget about it, darling. You'll find out. Better get dressed for dinner.
Won't tell me, huh?
Uh-uh.
All right. You have your secrets. I have mine. I just thought of something. Oh, what are you laughing about?
Nothing, but if you're going crazy, I want to go with you.
I'm not going crazy, Liz. I was just thinking about the time I took Myra Ponsonby on the hayride. You've always wanted to hear what happened.
You're not going to get me to tell you Mother's secret that way.
No, of course not. Forget it, dear.
You think you're pretty sly. Who cares what happened when you went on the hayride with Myra? What could happen on a hayride? You're just trying to arouse my curiosity, but it won't work. I've gone on hay rides, lots of hay rides. They were all in the spirit of good fun. We'd go down some dark, lonely country road, stop the wagon. Some of the couples would go blackberry picking. We'd just sit there in the hay and... George Cougott, what happened on that hay ride?
It's a secret, remember? The grass?
The heck with the grass. What about the hay?
Now, you tell me your secret, and I'll tell you my secret.
All right, Mother's getting married. Now, what's... George, what happened?
I bit the stem off my pipe. Your mother's what?
Getting married. Now, what happened on the hayride?
Oh, Jimmy Paterno dropped his cigar and we had a weenie bake instead. Now, Liz, now what's this business about your mother getting married?
Well, we're going to meet her fiancé tonight. Mother met him in April. They've been corresponding, and in his last letter, he proposed.
Where'd your mother meet him?
In Houston, in front of a theater.
You mean he picked her up?
He knocked her down first. Now hurry and get dressed, George. We want to look nice when we meet him.
All right, but I wish your mother had consulted me first. I might have refused his proposal.
I should hope so. You're already married. Mother, sit down and relax.
I can't, Liz. Dan will be here any minute.
Now, you've got to calm down, Mrs. Elliott.
Yes.
I remember how nervous I was when Liz and I got married, but I had a simple formula for overcoming it.
Well, what was it?
He fainted.
I didn't faint. I just relaxed, all of a sudden.
I'm so nervous. I haven't been this upset since the day my scales were broken, and I thought I'd gained 200 pounds.
There's your man, Mrs. Elliott.
Now, don't all of you stare at me. I'll let him in.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello, Dan. Will you come in?
Reckon I will.
Are you embarrassed, Dan?
Nope. Well, reckon I'll be going now.
Dan, you just arrived, you know.
Just don't know what to say, Louise. I ain't a man of many words. Had me a long-winded speech wrote down on the back of a cigarette paper. Forgot and smoked it.
Well.
Yeah.
Mother.
Liz, dear, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess we kind of forgot our manners, Louise, standing here chattering like a couple of blue jays.
Yes. Dan, this is my daughter, Elizabeth.
Hello, Mr. Carson.
Even prettier than the picture your mama sent me.
Mother sent you my picture?
Yep. Laying on a blanket, taking your bottle.
Well, I've changed quite a bit since then.
Yeah. You're a lot longer now. Got a little more hair, too.
Well, when I was a baby, I used to wear my hair very close to my head, under the skin.
I'm George Cougott, Liz's husband. How do you do, Mr. Carson?
Well, hiya, George. Say, I like the way you shake hands, real tight, like you mean it.
You have quite a grip yourself.
Yeah, hate wishy-washy shakes, like the feel of friendship there. Ain't never forgot Herb Jackson, the friendliest feller I ever met. Broke 7 bones in my hand.
You'll be having dinner in a moment, Dan. Would you care to go upstairs and wash?
No. Took care of it before I left Houston.
Well, I'd better wash. I've never been to Houston.
I got a little surprise for you, Louise.
Oh, a surprise, Dan. Well, what is it?
Oh, it's coming later. Yeah, I guess I'm ready for Chuck now.
Chuck, Mr. Carson?
Yeah, that's what we call dinner in Texas, Lizzie.
What about late at night when you go down to the icebox and sneak a snack? What do you call that?
Snuff.
Enjoy your dinner, Mr. Carson?
Oh, I reckon it did, George. It's mighty fine grub.
Grub? What's grub?
Chuck.
I'm waiting for that surprise, Dan.
Well, it ought to be here in a little while, Louise.
Mr. Carson, I understand you have some oil property in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. It was originally my granddaddy's. He got it from some Indians. Swapped them for it.
Swapped them for oil property? What'd he give them? Colored beads, bits of cloth, fire water?
No. $650,000.
Did you ever meet an Indian, Mr. Carson?
Yeah, Lizzie. Sorry I did, too.
Oh, did you have trouble with him?
Kinda.
Did you kill him?
Nope.
Did you hurt him?
Kinda.
With a gun?
Nope. Backed over him in a gas station.
Mr. Carson, I understand along with your oil properties, you have quite a ranch, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Got me a nice big ranch. Ain't it, Louise?
It's really tremendous.
What do you call your ranch, Mr. Carson?
Dallas.
What about my surprise, Dad?
Well, it ought to be here any minute, Louise. Let's see. Well, this is sure going to be a fine wedding. A pretty bride.
And you'll be a rather handsome groom yourself, Dan.
Well, I went to a lot of trouble for the ceremony. Spent all day yesterday at the chiropractor's having my leg straightened out.
You should have kept your pants on. They're still bow-legged.
Tell me, do you have a horse, Mr. Carson?
Oh, now there's something that I like to talk about. You bet I got me a horse. His name is Shotgun.
Shotgun? Do you feed him or load him?
Oh, he's a good old horse. Had him for 18 years. Showing his age a little. Graying around the tail.
Oh, now that's nice. I think a gray tail makes a horse look distinguished.
As I always say, an old horse is just as good as a new horse.
I've never heard you say that, George.
Well, you've never been around while I was talking to an old horse.
Why don't we all go out on the porch?
Oh, I reckon that's your surprise now, Louise. Excuse me.
Oh, what do you suppose that silly boy's gotten me?
Mother, you're holding that third finger out too conspicuously.
Well, here's your surprise, Louise. Come on in, Slim.
Greetings from Texas, everybody. Gee-ho!
Slim's my old saddle buddy, Louise. He's gonna be our best man.
Oh?
Dan, you old horn swaddle son of a rattlesnake.
Slim, you old saddle sore mule buster.
You old leather eating coyote.
You old thieving noose dodger.
You old horn toad.
You old siffy cat.
You old prairie dog.
You old.
You.
Dan, he's going to be our best man.
Yeah, some surprise, huh, Lou? Slim, this year is Louie.
So that's her. Well, doggone. Twang my banjo, bust my bridges, doggone. Gull, dern, ding, dong, darn, Dan.
Slim says he likes your figure, Lou.
Oh, Mother's always had nice gall-derns. Oh,
yeah. Here's a little gall-dern something I brung you, Miss Lou. For when you and old ding-dong Dan set up gall-dern housekeeping. Doggone.
Thank you. Oh, towels. How nice. Aren't they, Liz?
Oh, yes. Look, George. A set. Hers and his'n.
I'll be right back, Liz. I think we're going to need some smelling salts.
I heard that. If you don't like my vapor, just open some windows. Doggone, Dan. Who's the strawberry room?
Oh, this is my daughter, Lizzie.
God darn it, she's pretty. A ding-dong redhead, too. Makes me want to kick off my boots and jump smack dab barefoot into a doggone tub of sow belly. Bust my britches. Bust my britches.
Bend over.
Doggone, Dan, I just can't wait no longer. I got a god darn surprise for you outside. Music for your wedding.
Music, Dan?
Yeah, just a minute. Oh, I mean, just a doggone minute.
Oh, Slim, you brought the sons of the singing sagebrush.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take that sunshine away.
Whoa!
What did Slim say about music for our wedding?
Oh, I know they ain't the best, Miss Lou. but Spade Cooley weren't available.
Oh, there ain't no finer music in the Sons of the Singing Sagebrush.
Sing some of that there wedding music for 'em, sons.
I'm ahead for the last roundup.
Oh, horse.
Make up your mind.
Man! Son!
Mr. Carson, have you ever thought that Mrs. Elliott may have other plans for the music at her wedding?
Lou? Why, Lou is loco about the Sons, ain't you, Lou?
Well, Dan, they were all right when we went to the barn dance in San Antonio, but I had planned on other music for the wedding, and I more or less thought that George could be the best man.
Oh, I'm being the best man. Who's George?
I'm George.
Now, look here, George.
Shoot him, Slim.
George is going to be the best man, aren't you, George?
I say I'm going to be the best man. What do you say, George?
Well, Liz, I think Slim really has his heart set on it.
Is this going to be a wedding, or is this going to be a wedding?
That's a very good question.
Well, let me hear some more of that wedding music, son.
Oh, promise me that someday you and I will take our love together to some sky.
Wahoo!
Son!
Oh, shut up!
Shoot him, Slim!
Shotgun sure would love this.
George, where are those smelling salts?
How's your mother, dear?
Doctor says she'll be all right. All she needs is quiet.
Fine. I got a room in town for the surging sons of the Screaming Sage.
Did they mind leaving?
Yes, I think they were a little hurt. As they walked away, they were singing something called I Don't Think They Like Us Here and I Wish We Were Back in Texas Blues.
Poor mother. The way she tried to smile when Slim brought in that box of dirt so their marriage could be held on Texas soil.
I can see the write-up of the wedding in the paper. To the soft strains of Beat My Desert Doggy Eight to the Bar, Louise Elliott and Daniel Carson were married. On the altar, campfires blazed brightly.
And the highlight of the affair was when the bride threw her bouquet of cactus and pinned three flower girls to the parson.
I won't let your mother go through with it, Liz.
Well, Mother confided in me, George. She doesn't want to go through with it.
She doesn't?
No, but unless Mr. Carson leaves, she'll have to marry him.
Oh, fine. Well, what could possibly make Mr. Carson leave? Who is it?
It's me. It's Dan.
Well, speak of the Carson.
Hello, Liz. George.
Why, Mr. Carson, you look so sad.
Well, I can't help it, Lizzie. It's a terrible thing that's happened. Terrible thing.
Oh, Mother's going to be all right, Mr. Carson. Don't worry.
It ain't your mother. Shotgun's down with a hoof and mouth disease.
Shotgun? You're more worried about your horse than Mrs. Elliott?
Well, I reckon I'd be pretty worried about her, too, if she had hoof and mouth disease. Poor old Shotgun. I just got a phone call about him from a Western Union office. I got to go to Shotgun.
You aren't leaving?
Yeah, reckon so. But I'll always remember Louise. I'm gonna keep the picture I got of her. And I'd be obliged if she'd keep my box of dirt.
Well, I'm sure she will, Mr. Carson.
Well, goodbye, Liz. Bye, George.
Goodbye, Mr. Carson. Don't bother to shake. I'll just slam the door on my hand.
Goodbye, and I hope Shotgun gets his hoof out of his mouth.
Liz, he's gone.
And Mother has a box of dirt.
What'll she do with it?
Oh, it'll make nice Christmas presents for people who don't have dirt.
Darling, he's gone, but let's not make light of it. He was a nice old guy. Yeah. You don't have anything against him, do you?
Why, certainly not, George.
I hope his horse will be all right.
It'd be a shame if Shotgun popped off before he got back.
Liz, I can't get over the coincidence of this thing. Here we're sitting in our room, and you're saying how nice it would be if Mr. Carson left. Mm-hmm. In walks Mr. Carson. Had a phone call from Western Union, and he's leaving.
Positively amazing.
Well, I guess we can go break the news to your mother.
She already knows about it.
What?
I made the phone call from her room.
Liz.
Want to send a telegram?
No, dear. I can't sleep.
Why not?
I keep lying here waiting for you to say, George, are you asleep?
Do you love me, George?
Madly.
Would you swim oceans to be at my side?
I'd swim oceans to be at your side.
Would you climb mountains to be at my side?
I'd climb mountains to be at your side.
Would you get up and get me a glass of water?
No.
Why not?
I'm pooped from climbing those mountains and swimming those oceans.
Please get me a glass of water, George.
All right. What smells so good?
I left the top off my taboo.
I thought it was night-blooming jasmine.
Why does jasmine only bloom at night?
Oh, they have a very strong union.
I love you, George.
I love you, too.
Remember, I want cold water. That's the left faucet.
Yes, Liz, the left faucet.
Oh, George, I've changed my mind. I'd like a Coke instead.
Okay. Which faucet is the Coke?
Oh, never mind. You'd have to go downstairs. I don't want you to leave me. I'll take water.
Here you are, darling.
Thanks, little cuddle puddle.
You're welcome. Little drip. Good night, honey.
Good night, dear.
What's the matter, Liz? You got a feather leak in your pillow?
No. I was just thinking that I'm pretty clever. Today I figured out a way to make someone not marry someone. And if I wanted to, I could scheme a way to make someone marry someone.
You really think you could?
Mm-hmm. I did it once.
You schemed a way to make someone marry someone?
Yes.
Who?
Good night, George.
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed Issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
We present My Favorite Husband, a new series based on Isabel Scott Rorick's gay, sophisticated Mr. and Mrs. Cougar, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Ten years ago, the town's most eligible bachelor, George Cougat, married socially prominent Elizabeth Elliott. The lavish wedding kept the society columns all over the country in copy for weeks. The New Yorker said,
"Bride and groom were dressed to the nth degree of smartness. Best man was a polo pony."
The Hearst papers said,
"The bride and groom were dressed handsomely in attracted comment from guest Douglas MacArthur."
And the Reader's Digest said,
"The bride and groom were dressed."
Well, after the honeymoon, George sold his polo pony, bought a stylish suburban home, took the first job that came along, fifth vice president of a bank. And now the Cougats are just George and Liz, two people who live together and like it. George says,
"When I married Liz, she didn't know a thing about keeping house. She couldn't cook, she couldn't sew, she couldn't clean. But later, she overcame this lack of domesticity in a most ingenious manner."
Liz says,
"I got a maid."
And now, let's take a peek at the Cougars. It's early morning, and there's husband George at the breakfast table. But where's wife, Liz? Oh, there she is, upstairs in the bedroom with Katie, the maid. Well, this is certainly unusual. Liz is getting into a formal evening gown. Let me check again. It's only 5 minutes after nine. Well, surely there's a reason for wearing an evening gown at this early hour.
Oh, just a little more, Katie. Can you get the zipper up now?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
the zipper's up.
Oh, how does it look, Katie? Would you consider it too slinky?
There's hardly enough of it to tell. If you'll pardon me, Mrs. Cougat, I've seen more cloth on a rope for cheese.
It isn't as skimpy as all that. Now, where's my corsage?
Oh, here it is, ma'am.
I'll just pin it on here. No, maybe here.
Well, what's wrong, Mrs. Cougat?
There's no place to pin it.
Well, I'll get you a gown that has a little more to it, Mrs. Cougat. But then...
Then what, Kitty?
You are having your portrait painted today, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, then maybe you'd better wear the gown you have on.
Why?
Well, as long as you're paying for a portrait, you might as well have as much of you in the picture as possible.
No, Katie, we might move to Boston someday, and I wouldn't want my portrait banned.
Oh, here's a more sensible gown, ma'am. Have you told Mr. Cougott about the painter coming today?
Not yet, Katie. I'll tell him at breakfast. Now hurry and get me out of this tight thing. I feel like a 10-inch weenie in a 5-inch roll. Good morning, George, darling.
Good morning, Liz. You're looking very...
George, what's wrong?
That evening gown.
Well, you've seen me wearing an evening gown before.
Well, I've seen you wearing galoshes, too, but not at breakfast.
Of course not. It never rains under the table. Darling, the reason I'm wearing this gown is because I'm going to have my portrait painted. The artist is coming this morning.
Having your portrait painted?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what in the world for?
Well, Alice Sturm had herself sketched, so...
Alice Sturm, I might have known. The old story of keeping up with the Joneses.
It's nothing like that, George. This is entirely different. This is keeping up with the Sturmses.
Darling, when Alice Sturm gave a party for an opera star, we had to give one for the Hall Johnson Choir. When Alice goes to Catalina, we have to go to Hawaii. Believe me, the day Alice Sturm has quintuplets, I want to be in Mexico.
You do? Well, what about me?
And just where is this masterpiece going to be painted?
Right here, and by a very good artist, too. His name is Damon Welch. He'll be here in a little while.
I get a kick out of those artist characters. I can hardly wait to see him. He'll probably be wearing a pink beret and have a rose clinched between his teeth. Long artistic fingers hanging down and sticking in the tops of his shoes.
No. I heard Damon Welch is different from other artists, George. They say he's very big and strong and muscular, like, who's that rugged, tall actor in the movies? You know, the one with the big arms and broad shoulders?
Marjorie Maine.
No, Victor Mature.
Oh, well, don't be silly, Liz. Artists are all the same. They wear berets, live in attics, and smell of spiders.
Hello, George. Liz.
Oh, it's Corey. Come on up, Corey.
Cartwright here. Bachelor deluxe. Damsel delight. The kind of man you'd like to marry your sister.
If you hated your sister.
How are you this morning, party boy?
No party last night, George, but did I meet a beautiful creature. She had a smile like Lana Turner, a voice like Dinah Shore, and she kissed like Paulette Goddard.
What do? Date her or buy tickets to her?
Don't speak lightly of this woman, Liz, for I think that at last, Corey Cartwright is in love.
You, Corey?
Yes, George. I feel that this is the real thing. I think I shall marry this girl.
Corey, that's wonderful. What's her name? Where does she live?
Darn, I knew I forgot something. Hey, Liz, I just noticed you're wearing an evening gown.
Yes, do you like it?
It's nice, but isn't this awfully late to be getting home?
Oh.
Liz is having her portrait painted, Corey. Some artist named Damon Welch is coming over this morning.
Damon Welch?
You've heard of him, Corey?
Heard of him? That's all Alice Sturm talks about since he sketched her. I hear he has big blue eyes, curly hair, muscles galore, a tan complexion, and stands about 12 feet tall.
Really now, Corey, 12 feet tall.
Maybe it is a slight exaggeration, but I understand that before he painted portraits, he used to paint rooftops without a ladder.
Well, anybody could do that if they had a long brush.
Or a short house.
Well, what do I care what he's like? Excuse me, I have to make a phone call.
Who are you calling this early, darling?
The time operator. My watch has been acting up again.
Well, maybe Corey has the right time.
No, I left my watch home on my other wrist.
At the tone, the time will be 9:42 and one quarter.
9:42. Have to be getting down to the bank.
Right with you, George. I have a luncheon date with a girl who was a gorgeous blonde yesterday, and I'm anxious to find out what she is today.
Kiss me goodbye, George. Your kisses give me strength for the day.
When Corey Cartwright kisses them, they stay charged up for a month.
Bye, darling.
Bye-bye, Liz.
Bye.
Are you really going to the bank today, George, or are you just faking?
Huh? What are you talking about?
With that Damon Welch coming to your house today, I figured maybe you're going to sneak out and hide in the garage.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about it. Doesn't worry me in the least.
It would if you heard what Howie Sturm calls that artist.
Why, what does he call him?
A weasel with an easel.
Come on, get in the car, Corey.
Hey, don't start the motor yet, George. The artist just pulled up in your driveway. Maybe we can get a look at him.
Good. I'm still betting he has a rose between his teeth.
He's getting out of his car. Holy mackerel, George. He looks like the Empire State Building with a turtleneck sweater.
Oh, he's not so much. I bet he pads that sweater with cotton.
If he does, he must have the whole plantation and Uncle Tom's cabin under there.
Look at those shoulders, George, and that chest. Corey, it doesn't take much to have broad shoulders and a big chest. All you need are muscles. Let's go.
Did you see that thick neck, George? Those pretty blue eyes?
Well, so what? My neck isn't as thick, maybe, but I have a nice neck. And look at my Adam's apple, Corey. Oh, that guy didn't have anywhere near the Adam's apple I have.
Oh, if there's anything that'll keep a home together, it's a big Adam's apple.
And as far as his blue eyes are concerned, my eyes are blue, too. Look at my eyes, Corey. See the pretty blue?
It's kind of hard to see the blue right now, George. Your face is so green.
Woman, face to the left. I cannot paint your portrait unless you cooperate.
Mr. Welch, I've told you a dozen times my name is Elizabeth Cougat, not woman.
Very well, Mrs. Cougat. Now be quiet, woman.
Well, one consolation. At least you know what I am.
Your dress gives you away. I don't like your nose. I shall not paint it that way.
But I like my nose. It's a good nose. Don't change it. I've had it so long now, it seems like almost a part of me.
Be still, woman.
You're very rough, Mr. Welch.
Woman, you're looking at a man who's painted the forests of Oregon and at the same time worked as a lumberjack. Sawing, climbing, cutting and chopping. One day, the man next to me was crushed by a falling redwood. I've seen many rough things. This is a man's world. That's why I'm rough.
Did it kill him, the man the tree fell on?
To coin a quaint old phrase, he was a real gone lumberjack.
You know, Mr. Welch, you and my husband have a lot in common. He lives a rugged life, too.
What does your husband do?
He's a banker.
Oh. Well, that is rugged.
It's plenty rugged. He goes to work every morning at 10 and doesn't get home until after 3.
Just what's rugged about that?
He has an uncomfortable office.
Liz, Liz, are you here?
Oh, you're home early, darling.
Hi, honey. How's the portrait coming? All finished, huh?
Oh, no, Damon will be back tomorrow.
Damon? You call him Damon?
Yes, now. He was terribly cold at first, but he warmed up.
How warm did he get?
Oh, George, I've just got to tell you all about him. You wouldn't believe that just an artist could have lived so much.
Too bad he lived so long.
What'd you say, dear?
I said too bad he had to run along.
You know, men certainly are misleading. Take Damon, for instance. There he is, an artist, but he's worked in the Oregon forest. And believe it or not, he's chopped down giant redwood trees.
Well, I cut down the tree in the yard, the one that made the lawn so unsightly.
That wasn't a tree, dear. That was a laundry pole.
Well, it was a tree once.
Did you notice Damon when you were leaving this morning? He came in right after you'd left with Corey.
Yes, I think I did. He was struggling to get his car door open. Didn't seem to have much strength. A tall, unhealthy-looking chap, as I recall. A padded sweater.
Damon? Oh, George, I don't think so. He's huge, with big muscles and a terrific tan.
Yes, Liz, but I'm sure that under that tan there's a naturally pale face.
George, what are you looking for?
Oh, nothing. Oh, say, look at this. My old photograph album. Look here. this picture of me at the beach. You noticed the muscle?
Oh, yes. That was the day you and Jimmy Paterno and Howie Sturm and the whole gang made the human pyramid.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of strength to support all those men.
Yes, it does. Look at my muscles.
Oh, there you are, right on top.
Oh, it takes a lot of strength to stay on top. There was quite a breeze that day.
Here's the picture I like. You and me in a rowboat at Simmons Park. Look, your sleeves are rolled up. Say, your arms were pretty big.
Of course. Of course.
I can't remember why I was rowing.
Well, I was saving my strength for the potato race. Are you sure you love me, Liz?
Oh, silly. Of course I love you. Why shouldn't I love you? Kiss me.
Feel those strong arms around you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm plenty strong, Liz. Way back in kindergarten, I used to beat up all the little kids.
I'll just bet you still could. Kiss me again, sweetheart.
Liz, are you positive you love me? I'm the only one, nobody else?
Oh, don't talk such nonsense. Just hug me tighter. Make believe I'm a tube of toothpaste and pop my cap off.
Oh, that's swell. I feel great now.
Oh, George, you know, I was thinking today, you don't have any hobbies. I believe I know of an interesting one for you.
No hobbies? I have my bird collection. 6 starlings and a dicky bird. What did you have in mind?
Why don't you take up painting as a hobby?
Painting? Oh, Liz, I'm going to bed.
Going to bed? Don't you want your dinner?
I won't need any dinner. I'll just go upstairs, pull the covers over my head, and eat my heart out.
You are listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. This is the story of my favorite husband, George Cugat, and his favorite wife, Liz, who, like most married couples, alternate in making each other first happy and then miserable. Well, at the moment, Liz is in the middle of having her portrait painted by the handsome and virile artist, Damon Welch. This makes Liz quite happy and George quite miserable. Now George thinks this is quite wrong, and chances are he's quite right. And so he's decided it's quite time he did something about it. It's the next morning. Quite.
George, darling, you aren't eating your breakfast.
Oh, I'm not very hungry, Liz. Didn't sleep last night. I'm going to stay home today.
Stay home? George, are you ill?
Yeah, that's it. I'm sick. Awfully sick.
What's wrong?
Oh, I don't know, Liz. Maybe it's painter's colic.
Painter's colic?
Well, that is, the inside of my mouth feels like a brush.
I'd better call Dr. Buell.
What do I want with a doctor?
Well, you just said you were sick.
Oh, yeah. Call a doctor.
Oh, it's Damon. Katie!
I saw him coming, Mrs. Cugat. Oh, good morning, Mr. Wells.
Good morning, woman. Step aside and let genius enter.
I wish he'd slammed the door on his genius.
Good morning, woman.
Good morning, Damon. This is my husband, George.
You may just call me man.
George isn't feeling well, Damon. I'm going to call the doctor.
What's wrong with him? He looks well enough. Trouble with you, Cugat, is that soft, decadent living has finally caught up with you. You should get out of doors, do some exercises. Run the mile, do some chin-ups, push-ups, chop some wood, mow the lawn, pull some weights.
Tote that barge, lift that bale.
Oh. Liz, call the doctor now. I'm worn out.
All right, George. Let me have a look down your throat.
Certainly, Dr. Buell.
Ah. Dark down there. don't swallow, George. This is my best flashlight. There's nothing wrong there. Exactly what seems to be the trouble, George?
Well, Doctor, it's... I feel kind of things. First it starts, then it stops, then it goes again, then it backs up, and then it twists completely around. What does it sound like to you?
A woman driver. Come on now, George, tell me what's wrong.
Well, Doctor, you see, Liz is having her portrait painted by some artist who has muscles so big they can get up and walk around, and I just...
Oh, I believe I can diagnose your case now, George. Acute jealousy-itis.
Is that anything like borderline anemia?
Jealousy-itis is serious only if it isn't checked early. Fortunately, I believe I have with me the very thing you need to snap you out of it. Miss McCarthy, I just happen to have my nurse with me.
Nurse? I don't need a nurse.
Yes, doctor?
Marianne, this is Mr. Cougart, our newest patient.
I tell you, I don't need a... Oh, how do you do? Forgive me for not standing up in bed, but I only have on the pajama tops.
Enough to require a nurse, doctor?
Well, he said he wasn't. What about it, George?
Oh, I ain't long for this world.
Sit still, woman. I cannot paint your portrait unless you relax. I don't make moving pictures, you know.
Well, when are you going to paint in my hair? You still have me bald-headed. I don't like myself bald-headed. I look like my mother was frightened by Guy Kibbe.
I'll paint in your hair when I see fit, woman, and not a second sooner. Until that time, you'll remain an egghead and like it.
Damon, do you ever smile?
I laugh sometimes. My sense of humor is a bit unusual, however, not on the beaten path.
Well, what's funny to you?
Well, I laughed heartily when my friend Chadwick fell from the roof of the school in Paris.
Did Chadwick see the humor in it?
Oh, he screamed. Yes, I'll never forget it. Fractured half the bones in his body.
Yes, he must have been all broken up.
Miss McCarthy, did you hear that? My wife and the painter were laughing down there in the study. What could they have been laughing at?
You have a steamboat in the house, Mr. Cougar.
A steamboat? Well, of course not.
Well, then they couldn't be laughing at Fulton.
Oh, I'm serious, Miss McCarthy. I don't like them to be laughing. I'm going downstairs. Hello?
Hello, darling. What are you doing out of bed?
Well, I heard some laughing. What was all the laughing about?
Oh, Damon was telling jokes.
Oh, how nice. Mind if I stay a while?
I know one person who objects. I cannot paint with an audience.
What a horrible painting.
George.
No, let him criticize. All genius must be criticized. But I still do not want him around. Out. Take your linted bathrobe with you.
Well, as long as you're busy, I'll go back upstairs.
Goodbye, darling.
Well, goodbye.
Yes, goodbye. Nice trip. Be sure and write us.
Oh, Damon, you know something? I think my husband came downstairs because he's jealous.
Jealous? Jealousy is stupidity. Yes, I guess he could be jealous.
Well, I'm glad he's jealous. Oh, it makes me feel that I'm wanted.
You are. I want you to sit still. You never get jealous of Mr. Cougart, do you? I mean, the fact that he's upstairs right now with that attractive nurse. That doesn't faze you in the least.
Of course not. Good old faithful George. What was that?
What?
Damon, that was George and that nurse.
Oh, so? You aren't worried about good old faithful George, are you?
Certainly not. I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I got to see a man about a nurse. Hello. May I come in?
Yes, Mrs. Cougart, but you mustn't stay long. I have a naughty boy on my hands, and I don't want him to get excited.
That's why I came up. How are you, George?
Oh, it's awful. I just had a relapse. I accidentally plugged my electric heating pad into the radio, and H.V. Kaltenborn got in bed with me.
He's delirious.
Yes. You better go, Mrs. Cougott.
Yes, I'll... Goodbye, George. Miss McCarthy, wouldn't you like to come downstairs and boil a few thermometers or something?
I'll be right here with Mr. Cougott.
Well, bye, George.
He's gone now, Mr. Cougott. Why were you playing sick?
Because I wanted sympathy. Lots of sympathy. You know something, McCarthy? I think Liz came up only because she was jealous. She must have heard us laughing. You know what that means?
My capacity of a registered nurse, I'd say she has clean ears.
It means she loves me and worries about me. She's jealous.
Then you need have no further worry over the painter.
None whatever. He'll be laughing again soon, but I won't worry about it. I wonder why they aren't laughing. McCarthy, they're not laughing.
Doesn't that please you, Mr. Cougar?
No, they should be laughing.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm going down there and find out why they're so darn quiet. Where is he? I'll break him in half.
He's gone, George.
Gone? He's not here anymore?
I had to get rid of him, darling.
Why did you have to get rid of him?
Because I knew that if he left, you'd stop playing sick, and then Miss McCarthy could get the heck out of here.
Oh. Were you a little jealous of Miss McCarthy?
Of course not, but... I know you were jealous of Damon.
That's ridiculous.
George.
Yes, Liz.
Who do we think we're kidding?
So he left, huh, George?
Yes, Corey. He left.
And George was really very nice to him.
How lucky you were, George. Suppose, instead of going quietly, the man with the big muscles had gotten tough with you.
Oh, Corey, you're just trying to stir me up.
No, seriously. What would you have done if the painter had wanted to fight? Oh, I'm sorry, George. I shouldn't embarrass you this way in front of Liz.
If Damon had wanted to fight, George would have fought, wouldn't you, darling? Wouldn't you, George?
Why, certainly. If I had his phone number, I'd call him up right now and tell him a thing or two.
Oh, I have his phone number, dear. Here.
Oh, well, thanks.
When Damon answers the phone, I'll catch you, George.
Hello, Damon. This is George Cougott. I've changed my mind about being nice to you. If you want to fight, just come over here whenever you feel like getting knocked for a loop. You got anything to say to that?
At the tone, the time will be 9:27 and one quarter.
Well.
George Cougott. Kiss me. Kiss me this very instant.
Why right now?
Because you've got your dander up, and you're just dandy with your dander up.
In just a moment, Lucille Ball and Richard Denning will be back with us. Here's a friendly suggestion that may mean a lot to your own happiness. Why don't you call your family together one evening soon and say, is there anything else any of us can do in cooperation with others for the good of our community? You may find that somebody will come forward with the news of a community project that you haven't heard of. Maybe it has to do with Scouts or 4-H clubs or Red Cross. Well, there'll be an opportunity for service, something you'll like to grab hold of. For you know that what you're doing is more than helping make your life and your families and your neighbors better. By positive action toward improving the place where you live, you help preserve something we prize highly. That's freedom. You show that you agree with the statement that freedom is everybody's job.
George, are you asleep?
No, darling. I'm not asleep.
Do you love me, baby?
Yes, I love you.
How much?
Lots.
Well, in terms of pounds, how much do you love me? 3 pounds, 6 pounds, 7 pounds?
12 tons.
I love you 100 tons.
Now, you have a bigger truck.
George, no matter what happens, will you still love me, even when I'm old?
I'll still love you when you're old.
Will you take me out?
Yes, dear. I'll wheel you around the block every day.
George, something strange happened to Katie tonight.
Really? What was that?
Well, tonight around 9:27, Katie picked up the phone extension in the kitchen and heard a man shouting at the time operator, "Good night, George."
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. but we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.